this is our second Sunday in the Advent, and the first candle of the Advent wreath was lit so that we would remember the prophets. The second candle we will light today to help us to remember the angels. Angels were God's special messengers who proclaimed the coming of the Christ child. It was an angel that came to Mary to tell her that she would conceive and have a son, even though she was still a virgin. It was an angel who came to Joseph, the betrothed husband of Mary, to tell him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." It was an angel who announced to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, for you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Today we light the second candle of the Advent wreath, that we may remember the message of the angel. I'm trying to get you. I forgot that he had this one.
Let us pray. Father, today we continue our time of preparation for the birthday of your Son. May the lighting of this candle remind us that you sent special messengers, the angels, to proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ. As we view this candle, may we remember that you always send messengers into the world because you love the world and you want to see people saved. As your word always proves to be faithful, may your promises burn brightly in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. We got through that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope everybody's doing well. Let me get something that I can feed from here this morning. Amen. I know it was cold and rainy, but I tell you what, I'm happy to see everybody here this morning. Amen. You know, usually two or three drops of rain is guaranteed to run off at least 30 Baptists, minimum. But hey, we've got a good group here today, and I appreciate everybody coming out. Everybody getting ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody, who's got all their shopping done already?
No.
You ain't giving anybody anything.
I am so.
Okay. All right. I heard you weren't giving any Christmas this year. All right, so who else raised their hand?
I might not get it.
All right, good deal.
I'm not giving anybody.
Amen. You're like me, Uncle Ebenezer, at Christmas time, right? All right. But guys, you know, it's a great time of year. I want to first of all thank everyone who came out and decorated the church. It looks great. Everything. Let's give everybody a round of applause for that. Amen. Amen. Everything looks wonderful. As always, and just get you in a festive mood. And I appreciate everybody coming out and doing that. We're going to talk over the next couple of weeks about valuable lessons on love. We're going to talk about the first part this week. I've got about 10 characteristics of things that love is and that love is not. And we're going to look at the first 10 today, and then we'll finish up next week on the second 10. But you know, I think a lot of times when we say the word love, we hear the word love, we can get a wide variety of definitions for what love really is. And hopefully what I hope to do over the next couple of weeks is to give you some insight of what true Christ-like love is and what it is not. Because I think in the world that we live in today, we've labeled love as a lot of different things, when in reality, Christ's love is basically centered on us giving rather than receiving. And that's what it's all about. And once we learn that, hey, in order to really love someone the way Jesus loved them, we've got to be more willing to give than to receive. And once we understand that, I think that we can understand more about loving relationships. Our text for today comes from 1 John chapter 4.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to 1 John chapter 4. I always tell you the easiest way to remember the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John books is go to Revelation and flip back a few pages and you'll be in those 1st, 2nd, 3rd John books. They're easy to skip over because they're not very long. But we're going to be in 1st John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 through 11. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't, say hold up a minute.
Hold
Everybody, okay, we'll wait. Amen. I appreciate somebody telling me that. But guys, I look forward to a great end of this 2018 year. And as we get ready to move into 2019, I believe the Lord's going to continue to do a lot of great things here, pick up where He has left off. And I just really look forward to what the new year will bring us. But hey, 2018 has been a good year as far as for me anyway. And I know for some of us, we've lost some loved ones along the way, and we just want to comfort you in that time. But God is always good. Amen.
Amen.
God is good all the time. God is good. Amen. No matter what situation you're in life, God is always going to be there with you. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. His love encompasses us everywhere we go. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning is how can we be more Christ-like in our love? You know, some people are hard to love, aren't they? Let's just be honest. How many of you know some people that are difficult to love? Amen?
Amen.
Tony looked at Della. I saw him look over there. Amen? I saw that. My perforated vision's still pretty good. Amen? Guys, some people are hard to love. But if you truly have the love of Christ in your heart, you can learn to love them regardless of what the circumstances are in your life. Remember, I talked to us several months back about learning to love people from a distance sometimes because some people are out of fellowship with God and we cannot get too close in their inner circle, but we can still love them and we can still care about them. We may not be able to support what they're doing at a given time because they may be out of fellowship with their walk with the Lord, but we don't ever quit loving people. That's what I want you to understand. No matter what you've done in your life, Jesus still loves you. It doesn't matter what your track record is. The King of Kings still loves you. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read these verses, verse 7 through 11 of 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Father God, Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for allowing us to be able to stand on it, Lord. It is solid and true. I just pray now, God, in the next few minutes that Your message will be conveyed today in a way that people will understand and in a way that will glorify You, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I believe everybody knows what John 3:16 is telling us. You know, it tells us that because God loved us so much, He sent His Son into the world to die for our sins. Everybody knows that verse, right? I hope and pray if you've not memorized any other verse in the Bible, you have memorized John 3:16. Because that can always be a great verse you can bring out when you're witnessing to someone. God truly did love us enough to the point that He sent a part of Himself in a man named Jesus down here to earth to live for some 30 some odd years and to die on the cross so that we could have an opportunity for eternal life. No greater love can anyone show than that, amen? I mean, people don't just do things like that out of love for people. You know, the Bible says, no greater love hath man than he lay down his life for a friend. We're all loved by God. God laid down His life in Jesus for everyone. And I think that's just, when I think about that, that really just blows my mind. You know, I wouldn't lay down my life for a bunch of sinful people, amen? I mean, that just is beyond what I can really understand. So I hope and pray that we understand really the significance of what God's done for us. You know, God wants us to know that we're loved by Him and that His love encompasses everyone. And He wants us to love Him in return. And guys, once you realize that, let me tell you something. You can give and receive love in your relationship as God desires you to do. But you've got to understand how the love of God works. Before you can really love someone like God loves, you've got to understand how that love works. So let's take a look this morning at several characteristics of what love is and what love is not. Because I think the world has done a very bad job in its definition of the word love. You know, there's some people that think they love, but in reality it's something different. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Let's look at number one to start off with today. Number one, love is more than an emotion. Guys, you can't flip the love switch on and off whenever it's suitable for you. Love is not something you just switch on whenever things are going good for you and the people in your life are doing things that are positive for you and that you really enjoy having them do for you. That's not the way it works. Love is not simply an emotion. Although there are emotions involved with love, in and of itself, it's more than just an emotion. You see, love means making a commitment to another person. I think a lot of people can loosely say, oh yeah, I love you, but I'm not really committed to you. You understand where I'm coming from? We can say we love people, but are we really committed to those people? That's something that we really need to explore and really need to look at. You cannot truly love someone unless you are committed to loving them. Those people that are hard to love, you have to be committed to loving those people, right? It's not going to just happen naturally. Love does not happen naturally when the person you are trying to show love toward is not easy to love and does not want to reciprocate the love back to you. But see, that's something we got to understand. It's not about people giving us back the love that we give them. We are to show them love. Why? Because Jesus loved us. Jesus didn't expect the people that he showed love to give it back to him. In fact, the great majority of them never gave that love back to him. You realize that, right? Many of them accused him of all kinds of things. They accused him of being a liar. Some of them even accused him of being the devil himself. So you see, he didn't get a lot of the love back that he showed toward the people. But nonetheless, he did it. Number two, love is not free. You may say, well, preacher, it doesn't really cost us anything. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Love means making a commitment, and it demands something of us. It demands something of us. Guys, you can't live an isolated life and love someone else at the same time. You must interact with the people you love. Let me tell you what's happened to a lot of families nowadays. Here's the way a lot of families are nowadays. When everybody comes home, this person goes here, that person goes there, another person goes here, somebody goes outside. Where's the family unity? Where's the family unit in today's society? You see, I think it's very important. If you're going to show love, the kind of love that Christ wants you to show, you need to show it cohesively. You need to show it together. You cannot just go off and lock yourself away here, there, and everywhere and expect to really show the kind of love God wants you to show. I think it's so important for families to come together and spend time together. If nothing more, just how did your day go? Sit around, watch some TV, have some conversation. You know, it's really bad when the only conversation you have with your family is through texting and stuff like that, isn't it? Man, I need some face-to-face time. So how many of you like face-to-face time with people? Amen? I still believe that that's one of the most important ways you can show love to one another is to see them and interact with them. You see, love's not free. It demands something of us. Yeah, I got to give up some of my time. You know why? Because I love the people in my life and I want to interact with them. You can't just expect people to know you love them when you lock yourself away, when you don't interact with them. Number three, love looks beyond the flesh. Love looks beyond the flesh. Too many people get involved in a relationship because they have found the most beautiful thing on earth. Amen. They found the perfect wife. They found the perfect husband. And you know what they consider that perfect husband or wife to be? The most beautiful or handsome person on earth. Guys, that's not what it's all about. Now, yeah, I'm not encouraging you to run out and find the ugliest person you can find and marry them. Amen. I mean, you know, there is some things to that. But I'm not saying that that's what the most important thing should be in a loving relationship. It should not be about the flesh. Love is focused on the heart, not on outward appearances. You know, too many people are caught up in how somebody looks, what they wear, what they ride around in. That is the determining factor for some people. And as far as loving them, that's what they base their love on. Or they think they're basing their love on that. Guys, it's not about the flesh. We should look to that person's heart, not their physical appearance. If you want to show true love to someone, you look at their heart. You say, well, preacher, how can I do that? Oh, you don't have to look far. Just look at how they are. Look at what they do. Look at what they do for other people. Look at how they interact on a daily basis. Look at their speech. Look at their actions, how they carry themselves, who they hang around with. That's going to let you know if that person really is loving. So it's not all about the flesh, guys. It involves more than simply an attraction. I can promise you that. I think most of us in here that are married, when we met what would be our spouse, you know, the first thing we said was, hey, you know, we got involved in some conversation. We talked about things. We didn't immediately just latch onto that person because they were the most beautiful person in the world. We got together and started developing a relationship with them because we saw who they were inside. That's what drew us to that person. Not how beautiful they looked or how handsome they were. So you see, it's not about the flesh. Number four, lust has nothing to do with genuine love. I want everybody to listen to this now, especially our young people, and I'm not just picking on our young folks, because hey, there are plenty of old folks that lust after people too, amen? It's not just a young person's thing, but it tends to affect them a lot because that's what a lot of people focus that on. Guys, let me tell you something. Lust is always self-centered. Love is always trying to reach out and do for others. So you see, if all you're doing is lusting after someone, it's for self-gratification reasons. It's because you want to satisfy something within you. It has nothing to do with any kind of love or any kind of relationship like that. So many people think they love someone when they are simply lusting for them. The Bible speaks a lot about lust, by the way, about how damaging it can be and how you present it into your heart and what it can lead you to do. So I want to encourage you to understand one thing. Lust has nothing to do with love. I want you to understand that right off the bat. Okay? So if you truly love someone, it's not going to be about you. It's not going to be focused on yourself, what I need or want from the other person. It's going to be, what can I do for him or her, which I love? That's the difference right there, guys. So please be aware of that. Number five, let's look at this. Love cannot be bought. I can't tell you how many times people think they can buy someone's love. You know, you go out and you buy them expensive things. You buy them jewelry. You buy them clothes. You get them a car. You do this, that, and the other for them. When in reality, most of the time they want the simple things that let them know you love them. It's not about jewelry. It's not about clothing. It's not about how great your house looks and all this, that, and the other. It's about what's coming out of your heart. The simple things in life. You know how I know people love me? It's not because they give me anything materialistically. It's because of the things they say and do for me. That's how I know people in my life really love me. So love can't be bought. It's a gift that is given freely. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to expect something in return. We receive love without any cost. You know, some people believe that the more I give or the more I spend on somebody, the more they're going to love me. Well, let me tell you what, they're using you. They don't love you. They love what you're giving them. And the more you give them, the more you empower them not to understand what love is all about. You know some of the most loving people in the world are people who don't have anything materialistically. I have seen people who have nothing that know more about love than the richest man in the world for sure. Why? Because they have to rely on simple things. They have to show their love outwardly to each other. They can't run off and buy things. And even if they could, I don't think their mindset would be that way. That's one thing I've always tried to instill in our kids, is it's not about what you give someone that lets them know they love you. It's about what you give of yourself that lets them know you love them. Your time, your compliments, your being there for them, you being there at their ball games and their school events and things like that, getting on them when you need to, getting in their business when you need to. That's how kids understand you love them. It's not about giving them this, that, and the other, thinking you're going to buy their love. I know parents that do that, and I try to tell them whenever I get an opportunity, let me tell you something, you're making a mistake here. Your kids are going to give you the outward appearance they love you, but they're really simply saying, what can I get now by saying I love you? And that's a dangerous thing to be. So love cannot be bought, guys. Number six, love wants to give with no strings attached. Love wants to give with no strings attached. Guys, if you truly love someone, there will be no strings attached. Let me tell you how you know you got strings attached to your love. Here's how you know if you got strings attached to your love. You give somebody something, but before you give it to them, you say, now I want you to understand, I've got something I want to give you, but I want to be sure that you're doing this, and you're doing that, and you're doing the other. Guys, those are strings attached to what you're trying to say about love for that person. Love has no strings attached. You don't bring up things and tell them that, hey, this is the way it's got to be in order for me to show you this love. No. Love is unconditional. If you really love like Jesus loved, it's unconditional love. You don't have strings attached. You don't go up to them and say, well, you know what? I really love you, but I really want this, this, this. Guys, those are strings. That's not unconditional love. True love does not demand that a person be a certain way before you give them love. Let me tell you something. With all of our kids, we show them unconditional love. We do not expect... Look, if our kids were to never show us any outward love themselves, we would continue to show it to them. Why? Because that's what Jesus has commanded. We're going to continue to love them no matter what. Now, it's great to tell each other you love each other, but let them see it in action. Let them hear it, not only by word, but by deed as well. So you see, don't have any strings attached. Genuine true love is freely given without any qualifications or requirements. You know, we've got some great kids in our family. Austin, Katie, Cody, Dylan. Look, we don't put strings on them. We love them unconditionally. And we will continue to do that. Why? Because that's what Jesus said we should do. We don't expect them to be perfect beings in order for us to love them. We love them unconditionally. Why? Because Jesus instilled that in the heart of this believer. Amen. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. God instills in you through the Holy Spirit the way to love people. You've got to accept it and you've got to give it the way Jesus wants you to give it. No strings attached. Number seven, love is generous and unselfish. True love will never be self-centered. It's always going to be looking for ways to give and not for ways to get. If you truly love someone, you're going to be looking for ways to give to those people. And I'm not just talking about material things here. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about quality time, effort, compliments, whatever. So you've got to let them know that your love is unselfish. You can't expect anything in return for it. Number eight, love is more fulfilled in giving than in receiving. Guys, when you know someone you love needs something, you would rather give it to them than receive something yourself. I know that's the way I am. You know what? I'm going to make sure that my family's taken care of before I worry about taking care of myself. You know, that's in everything, whether it be the vehicles they drive or whatever. I tell you what, I've driven around with some tires that were slick as the back of that pew right there. But I made sure they had good tires. That's what love is about there. You're more willing to give than to receive. And when you can learn to do that, then you really start understanding what true love is all about. Taking care of other people rather than receiving from them in return. You know, you can't put conditions on that. You'll be especially gratified when you can supply something for someone who really needs it or desire something. There's no better feeling than to do something for someone and it really just touches them, is there? But let me tell you something. Don't do it so you can run around and brag about it. Because you have already received your blessing before you ever do that, if you do something like that. Because the Bible says in the book of Matthew, don't let your right hand know or your left hand know what your right hand's doing. So you see, when you love someone and you want to do something good for them, just let it be between you and God. You know, that's some of the greatest feelings I've ever had of love is when I've just tried to reach out to people and they didn't know anything about it. I encourage you to try that sometime. Pay for somebody behind you in line's meal while you're at the drive-thru at a fast food restaurant. So that when they pull up, that lady just says, hey, you can go on through. That person up there paid for it for you. I've had people do that for me. And I'm like, wow, I don't even know that person. And they just thought enough to buy my meal. If I'd have known that, I'd have ordered that number 10 instead of that number 6. Amen? No. But guys, that's what it's about. Doing things for people because it's the right thing to do. Not because you feel like you ought to do it. You do it because you want to do it. Amen? That's why you do it. Number 9. This is a very important one here, guys. Love is forgiving. Love is forgiving. Guys, if you're angry, bitter, or jealous of someone or at someone, you will never be able to show them the kind of love that Jesus wants you to show. You can't do it. You cannot do it. When you've got anger in your heart, when you've got bitterness in your heart, when you have jealousy in your heart, you cannot show the love of Christ if you continue to hold on to those things. You got to let them go. If you're going to truly love someone, you must let those things go and let them subside, because you'll never be able to truly show the love of Christ if you don't. If you're angry, bitter, or jealous, it's going to hinder your ability to truly love those other people. You can only really show love, guys, when you've truly forgiven someone who's wronged you. That's an absolute. Oh, you can say the words, but they don't have meaning until you've forgiven them in your heart. You can say the words all you want to, but until you say the words, I am sorry, will you forgive me? 7 simple words that you should always say to someone if you want to reestablish your love toward them. Very, very important. And lastly, but not least today, number 10. Love desires to express itself. Love desires to express itself. If you truly love Jesus and others, it's going to show through an outward flowing of sacrificial giving. How do you know people love you? If I were to go around this room, we'd have a multiple choice set of answers here. But I can guarantee you this. People who really know someone loves them would say things like this. It's because of the kind things they do. Not because of the expensive things they give me. It's the words they tell me when I need to hear them the most. It's the, man, they showed up and came and supported me and believed in what I was doing. That's how people express love to people. And that's how you know when people really love you. You're going to see those things, guys. I'm telling you, Jesus has got enough love for everybody in this room and then some. He just wants to let it flow out of Him into you. If you're a born-again believer, you were implanted with the love of Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. But see, the problem is, some of us have allowed Satan to manipulate our minds into thinking that love is something that it's really not. So I want you to look over this list in the next week or so, and I want you to ask yourself some questions. Am I really showing love this way? Should I not be showing love that way? How do I check up on this 10-item checklist? Look at your life, examine it, see what you're doing, and see if what you're doing is really showing Christ-like love. Now, next week, guys, we're going to finish up. I got 10 more I want to talk to you about next week. So come back again next week. You're going to get the last 10. But guys, I want to tell you something. You should love because Jesus loves. Because Jesus loved you. He loves me. That's what should drive your love for other people. Not what you can get out of them. Not for any other reason except the fact that Jesus loved me enough to die for me. So I'm going to show that self-sacrificing kind of love. And when you can do that, guys, you'll have a feeling inside you that's insurpassable. You will have a feeling of peace inside you. And guess what? I want to encourage you to do something here the next week. I want to encourage you to tell somebody you love them that's been very hard for you to love in your life. Just send them a little message. Hey, just type it out on your phone and send it to them. Just say, hey, I just want to let you know I love you. They may have been the worst person in the world for you and to you, but you can still show love to them. Or just type out a simple message. Hey, I just want to let you know I've forgiven you for what you did to me. Send it to them. Because guys, until you do that, you're never going to really be able to show the kind of love that God wants you to be able to show. So I want to encourage you to do those things. And most of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last verse in that chapter tells us this. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Is that the greatest on your list? The greatest characteristic you want to have about Jesus is love? I hope so, because it was important enough to say that the greatest of those traits was love. Are you willing to love people who may not love you back? That's what it's all about, guys. Loving your family. Let your family know you love them. Not by what you can give them, but by what you can pour into them. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for each and every person that's here. I just pray, God, that you have opened some of our eyes to what love is and what it is not. I just pray, God, that we'll meditate on this coming week and think about it. I thank you once again for everybody that's here today, Lord. And I thank you most of all for loving a sinner like me enough to send a part of you in the form of Jesus to die for me and for everybody else in this room. Lord, that's the greatest example of love that I could ever think of. And I just pray, God, that you will just go with us throughout this week. Help us to have a great week, Lord, and help us to come back here again to your house tonight, Lord, as we continue to worship today, Lord, as well. We just give you the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, baby?
Number 530.
530. Let's stand and sing. As always, the altar's open. You need to come up and pray and get some things right with the Lord. You feel free to come.